I think this was civil. All right, now, last time I think we left off, we had just spoken about the Avos and Tolados. There's one Tosfos that I wanted to just cover from last time, which we didn't do, which is Dibur HaMaschil, Ula Rabbi Eliezer. I think I want to do the bottom two Tosfosim.
The bottom Tosfos is they're both actually illustrative of learning Tosfos properly for different reasons. So let's start with, firstly, Ula Rabbi Eliezer, Amai Kari De'ad. So the Gemara, remember, had said to the Chachamim that there was an afgamina between the Av and a Tolda having to do with the number of chatos you have to bring. But we dealt with that last time. So now the Gemara said, but Rabbi Eliezer, I think we didn't read, I don't know if we read, but let's read Rabbi Eliezer again in the Gemara. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayev HaTolda b'makom Av, Amai Kari, the Av, Amai Kari, the Tolda. Rabbi Eliezer believes that if you do an Av and its own Tolda, you bring two chatos. You're bringing two chatos. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara doesn't even ask what's the nafkamina. It says, Amai kare le av, amai kare le tolda. Why is it called, why is one called an av, and why is one called a tolda? Now, interestingly enough, there is a ready-made nafkamina, potentially. Which other Rishonim point out, the Machlokas and the Gemara in Krasis, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I don't remember all the details, but what if you do an Av and an Av? Are you chayav one or two chatos? Now, I don't remember if the question, it's a Machlokas Amarim, I believe, in Krasis. I don't remember whether or not it's an Av, two different Avos of one Av, like Zorea and Zomer, right? Pruning and planting a seed in the ground, which are both forms of Zorea. Zorea is the Av, but Zomer, which makes the tree grow better, is considered a Tolda. I don't think it's Zorea or Notea, which are both Avos of Zorea. Or was it, a Zorea, Zorea, Zorea? I don't remember. But there is a Machlokas where Rabbi Eliezer is Mechayev too, even in that case. But he's definitely Mechayev on Tolda B'makom Av. So the truth is, if you adopt the position that he's not Mechayev for multiple Avos, he's Mechayev only one, then you do have a ready nafkamina, ironically, in the other direction. That if it were an Av, let's say it were Zorea and Notea, and you did both of them, you'd only bring one. Whereas if you did Zorea and it's Tolda, then you'd actually have to bring two. So it could have been a nafkamina in the reverse. But I think that maybe the Rishonosum, most of the Maskana of the Gemara is, that it doesn't matter if you do an Av and a Tolda, it doesn't matter if you do two Avos for Rabbi Eliezer, you bring two. So the Gemara doesn't even want to know what the Nafkamina is. The Gemara just says, there is no Nafkamina, but it's a question of nomenclature. Why is one called an Av, one called a Tolda? And the Gemara says, Amai kare le Av, amai kare le Tolda, hach ta hava b'mishkan chashiva kare le Av, hach ta lo hava b'mishkan chashiva kare le Tolda. So if you read the Gemara this way, which is the Girsa that Tosfos presents here, can you translate this precisely for me? Translate and then explain to me what it means. Hach da habe b'mishkan chashiva kari le'av, hach da habe b'mishkan, hach, the lo habe b'mishkan chashiva kari le'tova. Ben Sion?
That which in the Mishkan was a significant action, it's called an av, and that which was not a significant action in the Mishkan is called a tolda.
Now, it's interesting the way you formulate it. It's accurate, your translation, but you chose to invert the formulation. You said that which was in the Mishkan and important. That which was in the Mishkan.
It was not in the Mishkan.
So, I would say the literal reading is that which was important in the Mishkan, your chayav on. That which was not important in the Mishkan, and that which was not important in the Mishkan, is a tolda. Now, let me ask you a question. What if it was not in the Mishkan at all?
I think counted. Chashiva doesn't mean important, it just means counted.
The Rishonim read it as of being significant. They read it with the word significance. As chashiv. That's the way they read it. They read it not as taken into account. Uh-huh. Right? That's I don't. I've never seen anybody. What?
How? Where do you see that from?
How do I see that?
Like Rishonim here or Rishonim
Yeah, look at Tosfos. He uses the term Shaloha Yuchashuvim Vahayuba Mishkan.
Okay, fine.
Also, by the way, the other Girsa makes it impossible. The other Girsa is Hach the Hava Bamishkan Vachashiva Kare Le Av, Hach the Lohava Bamishkan. It's not clear what the second one.
Okay, so in Rashi, reads it, I just saw like Rashi, it says Minuyos.
So with the girsa of chashiva without the vav, you could possibly read it that way. So if you read it that way, by the way, see, I'll tell you the problem with that is anyway. Hach the lo have the mishkan chashiva doesn't make sense. It should have been hach the lo have a chashiva be mishkan. And both sides, it shouldn't have been hach to have a mishkan chashiva. It should have been hach to have a chashiva be mishkan.
No matter which way you translate
it. In other words, it should have been nimne in the mishkan. It's a very strange, order if it means the other one.
I wouldn't make
Okay. So anyway, so allow me that for the moment, though. So according to this reading, though, if it wasn't in the Mishkan, what would you say its status is, Kesser?
Well, I would say that the not having Chashiva in the Mishkan is an inclusive statement. Mm. If it doesn't have Chashiva in the Mishkan, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the Mishkan. It just doesn't have importance there.
So I'm asking you, what if you have a significant Malacha but not in the Mishkan? Would that be an Av or a Tolda?
A Tolda.
Because it wasn't in the Mishkan.
It wasn't in the Mishkan.
So you're requiring both. Now, that's what it has to be in the Mishkan and Chashev. The problem, of course, with that reading, not that it's inherently wrong, but Tosos notes that there's another Girsa, Hach Tahab of Mishkan Chashev. Let's read the bottom Tosos. So we'll skip to that first. Tosos writes, Ulefihach Girsa, Bola Afuke Kamalach Malacho Shaloha Yu Chashuvim, but Vahayu Bemishkam, the Toldos Dinner of Lo Avos Malachos, Kidarin of Parakamatonim, Haim Helu Krasha Mikarka Lagala, the Hainu Achnasa, Umoshit Bidyotahas. I don't care, the details of that case don't matter to me. Tosa says that if you had a Malacha that was in the Mishkam, but it wasn't Chashuva, then it's not counted as an Av, it's a Tolda. But Veista Garsi, Hach the Havi Bemishkan, Vachashiva, Karele Av, Hach the Lo Havi Bemishkan, Vilo Chashiva, it needs, in order to be an Av, you need two things. Avo chashiva v'lo haba b'mishkan, o ipcha, meaning b'mishkan v'lo haba chashiva, have tolda. So now I'm going to ask you, Kasser. Tosus' second girsa and second interpretation is that in order to be an Av, it has to need two things, in the mishkan and chashiva. So what was Tosus' first girsa and its interpretation?
That everything was in the mishkan.
No. I don't think it's a compelling reading of the Girsa, by the way. I want to make that clear. And Mark, I'll even throw you that bone. In other words, I'm not sure that Tosus is right, but Tosus clearly read... Come on, guys, think again. Look at the Tosus for a moment. The second teretz in Tosus is clear. The second Girsa, an explanation in Tosus, Hach tahava b'mishkan v'chashiva, Tosus says that in order to be an av boyitarti, he needs to be chashuv and has to have been in the Mishkan. Chashuv not in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan and not chashuv, tolda. If that's what, and Tosus is clearly differentiating between the two girsos. If that's the case, how did Tosus understand our girsa, which is the first one of Tosus? Well, if the second girsa requires how many features to qualify as an av? Two, both. So obviously, the first girsa
requires only
one. Now there are only two possibilities.
Could there be a difference in how he defines the tolda, though?
Can someone define for me? I'm gonna give you this answer for the moment, then, because I don't intend on dealing with io and av versus told. I think it's not important. If I were doing Masechet Shabbos and I were doing the parallel sugya, Gershon, thank you, and Sadi Vava Midbeis and Shabbos, I might deal with it there. But we're not. We're doing this is really all just a setup. So I don't really want to go beyond what we have right here. What is the definition of a tolda in Shabbos? What is a tolda in Shabbos? If you have something that's a malacha on Shabbos, it's prohibited and it's a tolda, how could you define, one way of defining what is a tolda?
Not an av.
Thank you. Not an av. Exactly what I wanted to hear. Not an av. If that's the case for the moment, so Tosfos says in the second teretz, in order to be an av, you need both criteria. Which means that in the first teretz, it seems like you only need one criteria to be an av. Now, the choice is either chashuv or in the mishkan. Now, based upon what is clear in the Gemara, which is the criteria that's required to be an Av and which is the one that's not?
Mishnah.
You can't Hashuva. Answer. Chashuva is what?
The Mishnah.
What is required to be an Av? Mishkan or Chashuva? It can't be both.
Chashuva.
Chashuva.
Then why does it bring in the Mishkan at all?
That's a good question. That's a kasha on Tosfos. That's a question on why Tosfos thinks that the Gemara means what he claims it means. It's not a question on what Tosfos meant.
What is it?
I agree. Others ask that question. I forget what the teretz they give is, but I don't care what the teretz is even, because right now I'm just interested in what Tosfos says. Your question is a good question, and you look at the Achron and the Maram. I think the Maram, who talks about this Tosfos, gives a hesper. I'm not persuaded by Tosfos' reading of the Gemara, but right now I'm asking what was Tosfos' reading of the Gemara. So your question is a correct question on Tosfos, but that doesn't change that that's what Tosfos' reading was. Is that
what is Chashuva without the Mishra?
Oh, excellent question.
Just like in context.
So, I don't think I mentioned this in Shir. I think I mentioned it to somebody in Seder. There is a very famous Yerushalmi. Rav Asher Weiss has tried invoking this Yerushalmi, I'm told, in order to claim that maybe electricity should be in Issa D'Oraisa of Makke B'Patish. And when he's not thinking the Chazanish. He's not thinking the Chazanish is Bona completing a circuit. That he understood. Nothing to do with that, right? He understood, as Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that turning off, flicking a light switch, assuming that there's no malach in the lights, but the electricity itself is not it's not bona because it's hishtamshus. It's something you use regularly that can't be called bona macha b'patish. Usher Weiss is arguing something else. Usher Weiss quotes this Yerushalmi. I learned about this Yerushalmi a long time ago from Rav Meir Lichtenstein when he gave shir once upon a time to my shir a very, very long time ago, at least a decade ago. And the Yerushalmi says when they enumerated the malachos, they classified them based each malacha they put in whatever av was shayach, and any malacha that they could that it couldn't figure out which av it belonged to, so they put in makke v'patish. That's a very interesting Yerushalmi. Why? Because what does that tell us about the process? What does that tell us about the definition of malacha? Yeah. In other words, they knew what malacha was. They knew what malacha was. What was malacha? Well, if you look at the Avos malachas in general, the categories of malacha, you know how the malachas are broken down? There are two categories of malachas, I like to say. The 38 malachas and one malacha. 38 malachas are the malachas of manufacturing, and one malacha is the malacha of commerce. Hotzah is the malacha of commerce. You know, we say that Mekach u'Memkar is only Drabbanon or Dibrei Kabbalah, but really Mekach u'Memkar is kind of, we shouldn't do talk about it as being Dibrei Kabbalah, being more chomer than just the Drabbanon, Mekach u'Memkar. And I say the reason why, I think, is because the malacha of Hotzah really is the malacha that was meant to prohibit Mekach u'Memkar. Look, every time Chilul Shabbos is discussed in Tanakh, in Yirmiyahu, in Nehemiah, it's all about Hotzah seems to be the malacha associated with Mekach u'Memkar. And it makes sense. All the other 38 malachos are about manufacturing. The first 11 are sidur of the pas. The next ones are the sidur of the wool. Then there's the sidur of the ore, right? Of wool and of leather. And then you have kind of the artisan's malachos of kosev and mochek and boneh and makke b'patish, and I don't know if I forgot anything in that list, right? And havara, right? Havara and kipui, which are all about called the manufacturing process, the industrial process. And then this hotzah. So what was definition of malacha? Definition of malacha was what people did to earn a livelihood. So, now, obviously, and sometimes, by the way, the issur of riding on a horse, for example, was known much earlier than Chazal. The Book of Jubilees refers to riding on a horse on Shabbos. The Book of Jubilees also says in the 50th chapter that you get stoned for riding a horse on Shabbos. Presumably, it was clear Jews did not ride animals on Shabbos. And the only question is why. In the Book of Jubilees, which is a sectarian work for many reasons, they treated it as an issur skila. Chazal dealt with the issue of riding on an animal, and they said this is not a malacha. And they decided that it was actually a shos. Right? It's one of these cases where I think it's clear something was known that it was usher to do on Shabbos. The only question is why. But the Yerushalmi suggests that they knew what was malacha, but then they had to categorize it. In that sense, by the way, I would agree with Usher Weiss in theory, but I think he's wrong on the details. In other words, he would say, and Rameir Lichtenstein said this notion also when we were talking about electricity a little bit. Maybe he was referring to Russia. I don't know. I thought Usher Weiss wrote this more recently, but I'm not sure. Is that the idea is how do people do so much of their work today?
Electronics.
What?
Electronics.
With electricity. Now, the argument that one could make against it is, so if you wanted to argue that, I don't think that one would argue that using electricity is a malacha based upon that. You might argue that using a smartphone is an issur d'oraisa. Right? You might argue using a computer is an issur d'oraisa, not per se just because of the electricity per se, but because that's the way a person engages in their livelihood in its totality. That's the way industrial, all these processes are done. It's done with the use
of, you know, with heavy-duty electricity. One might argue that turning on a non-incandescent, non-fluorescent, non-halogen light, you know, an LED light, well, that's not the way people do work. That's just, that's tanuk, right? That's just the way, that's what you do as a leisure activity. You'll do that. You're turning on the fan, turning on the air conditioner, et cetera. Maybe even turning on the television, right? The difference between, I mean, it might be also for other reasons. Also, turn it on, just also to watch it. Okay, but the difference between this and a television is that a television, by definition, is an object for mind-numbing leisure, whereas this is an object for both mind-numbing leisure and work. Sometimes both of the, which are the same. Okay. So bottom line is, if you adopt that, you show me, though. So then the question you ask, well, how do you know it's a malacha if it's not in the Mishkan? If you say it's choshev, the answer is because that Yushalmi is not really assuming. There aren't even two deos in the Bavli. The Bavli is two deos where the lamatas malachas come. One comes, says, from the Mishkan. The other one says, because it says malacha 39 times in the Torah. You have to figure out how it's 39 or more, but which ones you count, which you don't count. Right? But some Rishonim will say, though, but it also uses Mishkan. But the Peshat and the Bavli might not be that way. It might be that malacha, there are two standards, either from Mishkan or no. Malacha is that 39 malachas. But then you have to ask, well, how do you know? The answer is the same way, how do you know to put things that didn't fit anywhere else under Amakim Mepatish? Who says it's a malacha? The answer is because you know what a malacha is. Everybody understands what malacha is. Everybody knows the kind of stuff that's prohibited on Shabbos. The only question is, why? It's the great modern frustration of when you say that something is not Shabbistic, right? Saying that something is not Shabbistic is a halacha category, by the way, being Shabbistic. Is real halacha. The problem is that defining, you know, the parameters of what falls in that category when the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't say it beferish, right, is what's very hard. Is running around sweating, playing basketball on Shabbos, is that not Shabbistic? I don't know. I don't advise it, right? But I might think it's not in the spirit of Shabbos, but that's a very amorphous category. But however, Chazal knew, they knew things were malachas. Everybody knew these things were malachas. They knew you didn't do these things on Shabbos. So once you recognize that, you can have something that is chashuva. It's a malacha chashuva, and it wasn't in the Mishkan at all. You could theoretically have such a thing. Yeah? So Ben Zion's question remains correct, though. In other words, then why does the Gemara even mention the word b'mishkan? And so the Maram talks about that. Fine. All right. So again, I'm interested in how you read a Tosos. Right? When you read the first part of Tosos, you would have come up with the conclusion that some of you, I think, did. But when you read the second part of Tosos, you have to make a U-turn and say, 1 second. If the second Teretz in Tosos claims that you need both in order to be an Av Malacha, what did the first Teretz hold? Right? I might agree with you. I don't know that Tosos' reading of the Gemara is a good reading. But what did Tosos say? You can. If you want to argue on Tosos, I'm okay with you doing that, but first you have to understand what Tosos said. Now, the previous Tosos is actually even more illustrative, and it actually will demonstrate the importance of having either manuscripts or good sources. So let's take a look at the previous Tosos.
Well, the Rabbi Eliezer, Amai Kari Le'av. V'im Tomar.
And just a note, by the way, as I said to Yair during Seder, which is before Bris came along, this is the way people used to learn in the yeshivas. In the time when the yeshivas only had mostly Iluyim and Gaonim in them, this is what they spent their time doing. They didn't have so many in the way of other Rishonim, and they spent their time reading texts really carefully, Hava Mina Maskana, etc., etc. There are still many yeshivas today which they learn that way. A place like Chafetz Chaim tends to do a lot of that. The advantage, of course, is that all you need is the Gemara. That's not a compelling reason to only learn that way, but it is important to be able to read that way first. Tosa says, Rabbi Eliezer Amai Kari Le'ah, V'im Tomar V'neima D'naf Gemina. Now, I don't even want to continue for a moment. I want to hold up. What is Tosa's question? Without even reading on, what's Tosa's question going to be? What did the Gemara assume, almost explicitly?
That there is no
Naf Gemina. Excellent. So Tosa says, but I got one. Tosa says, V'neima D'naf Gemina L'in Hasrosh Etzarech. Now, Tosus read that Gemara. It's a discussion when you have a filter. Okay? When you put, let's say, wet dregs of wine into a filter, and it strains them and the liquid comes out. So the Mishnah says, according to the Chacham, that's a malacha. Question is, what category, what av, does it fall under? But the way the Gemara formulates it is, for what do you give him hasra?
Satosa. Now, the mashmos, the simple initial reading of the Gemara is that when someone is doing marakeid, in order for you to get him stoned, what do you have to do? Well, we know you have to give him hasra, but you have to fill the hasra based upon the av malacha. So Tosa says the nafkamina for Rabbi, even for Rabbi Eliezer, between the tolda and av, is that on a tolda you have to warn mishum something else, mishum it's av. Whereas on an av, you can just tell him you can't do zaraya, you can't do notaya, etc. So there's an afgamina even for Rabbi Eliezer. Kester.
The question was why even distinguish between what is an av and what is a tolda?
Yeah. Why do you call? You don't. There's no point in calling something an av or a tolda if there's actually no way, no nafgamina, and no way to distinguish between them. So the Gemara assumed for Rabbi Eliezer there's no nafgamina, but there still must be a reason. Again, Rav Shechter always likes to say, any hakira which doesn't have an afgamina is not a hakira. Okay, so we don't have to be so, I mean, I tend to be sympathetic to that, but fine. You want to sometimes you want to make a hakira just to sort of understand what's going on. Again, the problem, again, I apologize. I don't know if I told you this, but I had a Talmud, I didn't tell you this in Shira, I had a Talmud when I taught Baba Kama 20 years ago. And he walked in the first day, I will not say, he's a person whose name cannot be mentioned, who armed him with a chakira, which was to ask, is the chiyuv of nezek mishum pshia and the shmira or mamono hamazik? And you can imagine, I'm a first year Rebbe, but you could still imagine, I looked at him and what did I say? What words came out of my mouth?
What's
an afgamina? And it just kind of floored him. It floored him. Like he just like, I think I had shattered the kalim or something like that. In other words, and I didn't say that because I was trying to beat him over the head. It doesn't speak to me, you know, until I can, if you talk to me in learning and you start to present me a subtle hakira, I will ask you often, can you give me a case? Not because I'm negating your hakira, but because I think better in those concrete terms. I can eventually move to thinking abstractly, but it's hard for me to get into the abstract until I sort of understand what the difference is. So the point of the Gemara, if there's no nafkamina between an av and a tolda, there at least has to be a reason why you're calling one an av and one a tolda. And the Gemara says, amai. Doesn't it lemai nafkamina? Right? For the Chacham, it said nafkamina that. Right? For Rabbi Lezer, amai kari lav, amai kari le tolda. Right? The Gemara is willing to have a distinction between a big category and a subcategory. The Gemara wants to know, why bother if there's no nafkamina? The Gemara gives an explanation. In other words, sometimes labeling is of value. Ben Sion, you wanted to comment?
Just Rabbi Yitzhak Cohen says, sort of harsh, he says that Chakira without a nafkamina is biblical Torah. And he says it, you know, he says it.
Wouldn't you love to have a public debate between Mori Haravi or Shechter and Rav Rosenzweig? That would be a lot of fun. You know, when I was at Talmud, just before I was at Talmud, they used to have interesting debates. They had debates in Yeshiva. They had debates in Yeshiva with over brain death and stuff like that. And there were fireworks, but it was interesting. It was a delicious moment. Today we don't argue about anything. And either there's a Talmud who once wrote, he published it. Rabbi Rosenzweig is at Tzadik Gomor. The person is a Rebbe now, and I happen to like him, but he once wrote an article in the Kol Elyon's journal. He wrote an Elyon's journal where I don't know why he went off on talking about Derech HaLimud. I don't know if that was the point of the article. So he was mevatel my Derech HaLimud, he was mevatel the idea of Mechkar, that if you're not going to follow the halacha, if you argue that the Pshat and the Mishnah means something different than Gemara explained it, so then, then what's the point? You really should follow that or something like that, which is I totally disagree with. That's fine. But that was really just a sign. And that was he quoted in, and there's some amazing things in the article that, again, I hadn't liked the person very much, but I think I disagree with everything he wrote in that article. And one of the things he basically said that, what's the Bittel Torah? I think he may have said that in the footnote there. He also quoted one of the most amazing things in the footnote from Rabbi Reichman, which I also disagree with, but I have to admire the intellectual bravery here, which the question is, what do you do with all this wonderful lumbus when we talk about this a little bit here, when it turns out that the person writing it didn't have the correct gerson in front of them. So, like all those Rambams, where it turns out there was no, you know, and you know, there's an entire Shulchan Aruch, Rav Kavalkin's Choshen Mishpat, when he did it, one of the major reasons he said, I heard him say this, is that there was so much Torah said on the Shach, which were simply incorrect because they had the wrong girsa in the shach. And we actually, there's a wonderful story how they discovered they were about to throw it out from some attic in Brooklyn. They were going to throw in the shameless, and they found the ksav yad of the shach. Choshen Mishpat. Something like that. So what? Rav Kavalkin. It's like a 10-volume, just the Shulchan Aruch, not the Torah. The 10-volume Choshen Mishpat. It looks like the Friedman edition for much of the rest of Shulchan Aruch, but that's what Rav Kavalkin, that's what he was in charge of its editing. So anyway, so what this person wrote, quoted Rabbi Reichman, is saying that no, it was Hashgacha Pratis that the gears of the Rambam would become damaged so that we could say this Torah. So I admire that. I say that. I mean, I looked at that. It's like I said on one part, he says, "Come on," but I mean that is true belief. Okay, I can't bring myself to that Mila, but that is, in other words, that is answering the question. That is answering the question.
If you disagree with that, what do you do with it? What do you do with
So the answer is that our ein ladayin elamasha ein avroos. Look, I always say, tell people when you have a difficult Rambam, the Rambam was probably one of the most conceptual, I suspect, of the Rishonim in his approach to things, based upon the way he wrote the Mishnah Torah. But in order to, before you run to the conceptual solution, you have to eliminate three possibilities when you find a difficult Rambam. Some which are contradictory. Number one is that it's not, you have the correct manuscript. And that's easy to do, by the way. All you have to do is use the Frankel Rambam now, which is really the first two Svarim of the Rambam we have. The Rambam, he didn't write it, Xavier Huntington, 80, but he was Magiyah. So that's basically the same as the Rambam wrote it. Then for the rest of the Mishnah Torah, you use the Yemenite version, and that's what Frankel did, right? The Yemenites are—I can tell you from my own work in Mishnah and the Rambam's Perusha Mishnayis, and they're almost like carbon copy of the Rambam down to what he abbreviated and what he didn't abbreviate. They were so careful in how you say they copied the Rambam. So you have to first check yourself. Then you have to be sure, and this is always hard to know, that the Rambam didn't change his mind. In some of those letters to the Chachmei Lunel, the Rambam said, "I changed my mind on that," right? The Rambam even presents that as one of the kinds of steers you can find within one book in his Hakdama to the Mordechai Vuchim. Any Divrei Yemen people in the room right now?
Yeah.
Right. So notice the Rambam says that sometimes it's a steer because the author changed his mind and didn't correct the earlier one. Right. Then you have to eliminate the possibility that the Rambam read the Gemara. This doesn't work as well for stiras in the Rambam, but what seems to be against the Gemara, you have to know whether there was another sugya that the Rambam read differently, because the derech of the Rif and the Rambam, early Chachmei Sfarad and the Gaonim, they are much, it's not that they never resolve two Gemaras, they are much more willing to say machlokas asugas. The Balei Atosis specialize in almost never saying that is what they call sugyas mukhlafos, but even the Balei Atosis know that there are sugyas mukhlafos, right? Stiras that between two sugyas that you can't resolve with with hob this, hob that, with a dialectic method. It's just a contradiction because it's a machlokas. Once you've eliminated sort of all those things, then when you know it's not a gersa problem, you know it's not the Rambam changed his mind, when you can't find a sugi that would point in the direction, now it's time to enter the conceptual realm to see how do the Rambam analyze things differently. And it can be very valuable. It's just that you have to eliminate the others. So when someone wrote a whole Torah on a Rambam that turned out to be based on an errant gersa, okay, that's because they didn't have... So that's what your job is, to do the best you can. The first Shmaitza, the Shev Shmaitza, the opening paragraph, is based upon the not having a particular tshuva, the Rambam, which we have. I will take the liberty to battle so you appreciate it. And I haven't looked this inside in a long time, but I'm pretty sure I have this straight. The famous kasha that's asked on the Rambam. The Rambam claims in Hilchos, I think, Shar Avos HaTumos. It's either in Tumas Meis. The Rambam writes that Sveika Doraisa is Lakula Min HaTorah. Now,
according to this,
the Rambam says Sveika Doraisa Lachorma is only Din Derabbanan. Some even say, for the Rambam, that's why Sveik Sveika is Lakula, because a Sveika is a Sveika Derabbanan, because a single suffix is only Din Vadai Derabbanan. Now, of course, there's a problem with saying that. The problem with saying that is that we know that if you violate an Avera B'Suffik, and you're not sure whether you did it or not. You ate a piece of fat, but you're not sure whether it was chaylev or shumon, or there were two pieces of fat, you ate one, and you don't know which one you ate, you have to bring a karban hashem tavli. So how can it be that it's mutter to do in the first place, but now that you did it, you violated something misafik, and you don't know whether you actually did it, how can it be that you have to bring a karban? It's mutter, if you come and ask the shayla, it's mutter to do, and as you learned from me last week, if it's the kind of thing where you would have done it had you known, you don't bring a karban. That's not called shami diasa. More larger point is it couldn't possibly be mutter midaraisa, and then you have to bring a karban when you do it. The Rambam was aware of that question, and he seems to give some type of an answer, although the gersos are kind of, you can see, he contradicts himself because somebody was trying to fix the Rambam. Okay, but the Rambam clearly knows that sometimes Sveika Doraisa is Lachomra. But he says, as a general rule, it's by Tzafik of Tuma, and most Sveika Doraisa is Minatora Lakula, only Lachomra Midrabbanan.
So they ask Akasha on the Rambam. I can answer. You can answer the Ashantali question. That's, if you know the sugya, I'm not going to explain to you what the answer is. That's a pashut answer. Sometimes you bring an Ashantali, sometimes you don't, and that can be dealt with. But they ask a different kasha on the Rambam. The Gemara near the beginning of the fourth perek of Kiddushin has a quote claimed that Safek Mamzer is Mutter Minat Torah. If you have a woman or a man who's only a Safek Mamzer, they can marry into the Kahal. And they quote a pasuk, and the pasuk says, "Lo yavom mamzer b'kal Hashem." 2 weeks ago, man and they darshan mamzer vaday hu deleyavah mamzer safak yavom. I don't know how they darshan, but that's what the Gemara says. So they ask Akasha and the Rambam. The Rashba already asks this question in his Chidushim. The Rashba asks, "Why do you need a pasuk to tell you that sveika d'oraisa is lakula is mutter here? If the whole principle in the first place is sveika d'oraisa is lakula min haTorah, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that a safak mamzer is mutter?" Right? If that the general rule is safek mam safek the rice on the kula, you don't need a pasuk. Now, there is a tshuva of the Rambam that we don't have anymore, but the Rashba quoted the answer. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. The Shev Shmaitza quotes some unbelievable answers in the first Shmaitza to try to explain this Rambam. My favorite one is the Gemara says that a safek mamzer can marry into the kahal, but a safek mamzer can also marry a mamzeris. Right, so I forget who he quotes who says that the reason why you don't need a pasuk for that. You know why you need a pasuk? Because if you have a safek mamzer who has two wives, he can marry both a bas yisrael kshera and a mamzeris at the same time. That's what you need the pasuk for, right? Okay, there's some brilliant answers given. The problem is, of course, we know what the Rambam held, and what's most amazing in that first shmaitza, I'm pretty sure that the Shev Shmaitza quotes somebody who quotes the Rashba, but never quotes the end of the Rashba. There was a tshuva of the Rambam. The Rambam was asked this question. And the Rambam said, that's the makor, that sveika d'oraisa is lakula. It's a binyanav from Mamzer. Yeah. Now, most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, but the point is, you have all this unbelievable Torah. I mean, the answers are one sharper than the next, but we know what the Rambam held. Oh, well. Right, so it's not. These are people 1,000 times smarter than I am, and 1,000 times what I do. Okay, we happen to be fortunate to have it.
You do the best you can.
Yes, Mark.
Yeah, I know the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote something similar to exactly what you're saying, but he made a differentiation between Kiddushim and Halakha. As in, like, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, any paskins according to, like, the Bezdin, the Bezdin of the three, and then there's a wrong Yirsa in the original sources, you can't say we're going to change Halakha based on that.
I would probably agree with that for the most part.
No, but he says a conceptual reason. He says the reason is because the Shulchan Aruch didn't just make Sam Bezdin. He says he had to agree with each individual. Like
so that's a very conceptual way.
And the right is there are several cases where he didn't just make Bezdin.
So that's a kind of a hesber that I don't. It's like the Chazon Ish said once. Is reputed to have said, I think generally accepted, that he wasn't interested in, if you had shittas or rishonim that were long lost and rediscovered, you couldn't follow the shittas. And the reason that they attribute to the Chazon Ish is that it was hashgacha pratis, that those shittas were covered up. Now, I don't like that reason. I agree. Again, Ani Akata, I think the Chazon Ish is correct as a matter of the way law works. I don't agree with the reasoning. He might not have either.
This is an hashgacha pratis reasoning.
Well, no, listen to what he said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you why.
Oh, okay.
How can you argue that Hashgacha Pratis? I understand. Hashgacha Pratis made sure that the Me'iri would be buried away and nobody would see it. So that was what Hashgacha Pratis was telling us. What is Hashgacha Pratis telling us now that we've rediscovered it? Is this not God speaking to us?
That's two different reasons. Those are two different reasons.
My point simply is, as a matter of legal process, when the law takes a certain path, and it's after a certain period of time, that becomes established law. It doesn't matter. In the same way, and... I'll say this once this year, I won't say it again, I say it once every year. I know that when you learn the Mishnah and you read the Gemara's interpretation of the Mishnah, you read the stem of the Gemara's interpretation of the Amoraim, I know that it's possible that there's another interpretation, another original intent of the Mishnah, another original intent of the Amoraim, and I may even explore that, right? Sometimes we know because Yushalmi says differently, right? Quotes differently. So we know that it really was an interpretation, and it's not the only interpretation. But as a rule, I always say that the stem of the Gemara reinterpreted the Amoraim rather than misunderstood the Amoraim,
out of respect for Chazal, out of respect for the Masadre Bavli, out of respect for Chacham. I know that they could have possibly misunderstood. They didn't have full information. And it's rare that we have enough information to say with certitude, I know better. Like, when would I say that there's a different interpretation of a Mishnah or an Amora? When we have a Yerushalmi, and you can argue, see, that's clearly much more pshat. Or it's a Yerushalmi explaining Rabbi Yochanan versus a Bavli explaining Rabbi Yochanan, where we Rishonim already sometimes say something like this, not quite like this, that of course you should believe the Yerushalmi, you should believe there it's Yisrael Amorayim, because they knew Rabbi Yochanan better. Right? So that's the only time I would typically know that there's another interpretation. But I say that we say that they reinterpreted, because we speak respectfully, we speak with respect for Chazal. But let's entertain for the moment, what if they did get it wrong? What if it wasn't the original intent of the Mishnah, and they didn't know? Because reinterpretation means you know, but you're reinterpreting for whatever the reasons. And that reason, by the way, is because why can't Amoraim argue on a Mishnah, on the Mishnah? Why are they not allowed to argue on the Mishnah? I'm telling you, they're reinterpreting the Mishnah. When you reinterpret what somebody says, and you know it wasn't the original intent, what are you doing?
Arguing.
You're arguing. So why is it that Amoraim can't argue on the Mishnah? Convention. Agreement. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim. They agreed not to. The question of the Kesef Mishnah, based upon the Rambam, is Hilchos Kavasrei. You always follow the latter-day authorities. So why couldn't the Amoraim argue on the Mishnah? The answer is they could have. And we could argue on the Gemara. We accepted not to. That's the convention. That's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. I think it's correct, by the way. So the point is, the reason why Amoraim didn't argue, the deal was that the convention was they didn't argue on the Mishnah explicitly. They could argue through interpretation. That's what they would do. And that's the assumption I work with. And the answer is, we postulate like the Amoraim against the Mishnah, we postulate like the Stam of the Gemara against the Amoraim, if they didn't understand what the original intent. And that's the way halacha works. And in the same way, at a certain point, even if the Shulchan Aruch was based upon some errant girsa, at a certain point, that becomes accepted law, and that's the path the law has taken. You can't jump back in time and say, oh, I want to go down a different path. It just doesn't work that way. That, by the way, is the real flaw of, let's say, conservative halacha, is not merely that they adopt minority, these very fringe minority shittos, is that when the law has taken a certain path, so then that's the way it is. And that can happen l'kul and l'chumra. If you take an example in a good part of the Ashkenazi community, certainly the Hasidic community, the Modern Orthodox community, the Yeshivish world is more split. The issue of Yashem and Chadash and Chutz Laretz, right? Kimat every Rishon you've ever opened in a Beis Medrash, virtually everyone holds that Chadash and Chutz Laretz is Aser and probably Minat Torah. The Mechaber paskins that way, the Ramah paskins that way, except for the Ramah said they had some type of a Sveika. Most of the Hasidic community, the Modern Orthodox community, is not makbid for Chadash and Chutz Laretz. And in Europe, almost the entire tzibur, nobody was makbid on Yashan. A few Gedolim were makbid on Yashan. Right? How can that be? And the answer is, the halacha takes a certain path. The practice came a certain way, and the minority opinion of Rishonim, you know, Rabbeinu Baruch, perhaps, who's not such a minor figure, that position, and a few others, that became the adopted position, at least in Ashkenaz.
Did it develop out of necessity?
I don't know if I have ignorance or necessity, and I'm not sure which one. The answer may be, maybe yes to both of those, but at a certain point, Minhag Yisrael becomes Torah.
Is it wrong to still follow it?
Like no, it's not wrong. I personally am machbid on it under almost all circumstances, with certain types of exceptions for whatever reasons. But nonetheless, although not at your stage, only when you move out of your parents' house and get married. Do not anybody who is, almost everybody, oh, everybody single to most, do not go home and say, Ma, what? What's that?
It's an opposite way. I'm super machbid. My parents, but like everything else, I don't care about.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that later. I don't know anyone going home and saying, oh, I learned a new thing. But my point simply is that that's the nature of the way halacha works. You cannot jump back in time because you have an errant girsa. Okay, now, someone's going to have to help us climb out of this rabbit hole. I just wonder, how do we get into this rabbit hole? Yourselves. Okay. I apologize for that, but I know you enjoyed it and hopefully learned a lot. But nonetheless, let's go. All right. So Tosis's question was: I have an afkamina hasra. Now you have to analyze each of the answers and how they answer the question and how they differ with one another. If we only had the first two answers in Tosis, then it would be straightforward. So let's go. V'yesh lomar, the hachi parech, mishum ma, now hachi parech means the Gemara asks, mishum ma masrinan bein shehu chayef. Rabba amar mishum borer, aval hisru bel mishum araki et potter. Dechevan shemasra bedavar she'eno domer, savar shemalik bo patar. Avam hisru bo v'amr al tashamer chayef. So what is Tosus's teretz? Tosus said, the question, how did Tosus read the Gemara in the question? How did Tosus read in the answer? How did Tosus read Mishum my Masrin day? In the question, what was his? How did he read those words in the Havamim? Mishum my Masrin day. Translated. What do you have to warn him about? Meaning, in order to take him to Beis Din, you have to warn him about A or B. In the Teretz, Mishum my Masrin day doesn't mean what do you have to warn him about. You could say to him, Al Tishamer, don't tilt him.
I mean, why do you have to
tell him? No, but if you warned him about an Av, which kind of a Hasra would be Mechayim? What's the Av that would be Mechayim if you warned him about the Av rather than about the specific action? And why does that matter? The answer is because if you are lighting a fire on Shabbos and I tell you, don't do that because it's a Malchav Zareah, what are you going to say? The guy's a Meshuggah. It's Mutar on Shabbos, obviously. It's not Zareah.
And you can't warn an Av with a Tolga.
No, you can warn. Well, that would be. I mean, that would be normally what you would do. People know the Av more than the Tolda. But the point of this Teretz and Tosus is you can warn about the Tolda, but you can say, don't filter because that's a Malach on Shabbos. Whereas if you want to warn about the Av, you've got to get it right because you give him the wrong Av, he's going to say, okay, he's yanking my chain.
That's not true. So that's what Tosus says. That may, again, he says, V'yoshalamar dehachi parach. He's rereading the words of the Gemara when he says, dehachi parach. Mishum mai mesrinim beishu chayiv. Now, if you warned him and gave him hasra, what would the hasra be that would make him chayiv? Rabba amar mishum borer. Al hisru ba mishum marakit potter. Dechevan shu masra bedavar she'enam domer. Savar shemalik bo potter. Avom hisru ba v'amar al tishamer, which is the tolda, chayiv. So therefore, it's not a nafkamina between whether it's an av or whether it's a tolda. See, the havamin of Tosus was that the nafkamin between av and tolda is that you must warn always about the av. You can't give the hasra mishum the tolda. But according to the Teretz of Tosus, you can give the warning. You can always give for any malacha a hasra about what you're doing right now. What you can't do is give a person a hasra about something, a warning you can't do this on Shabbos because it's X, when it doesn't look like X. So if you're going to warn about an av when the guy's doing a tolda, you have to get the right av. But it's not that you have to warn him about the av. So it's not an afkamina between av and tolda. That's the first teretz of Tosus. Second teretz. V'od yesh lomar, d'zehu shemetaretz hach tahavid b'mishkan kare le'av, v'tzarech lahasras hatolda b'shma. So what does Tosus mean in this teretz? So the first question is, how is he reading the Gemara in Shabbos right now? Like he read it originally, like he read it in the first Terence, or third way? I don't mean that to be a trick question. It's not a trick question. The answer is one of those three, but it's important to consider. How is he reading the Gemara in Shabbos? What does he say again? He says, "The zehu shemetaretz hachtav mishkan karlav b'tzarech lahasur satol debishma." The way I, yes, what?
One more time. Just repeat that.
The question? How is Tosus reading the Gemara in Shabbos? That's, you can tell me what Tosus answers, but part of the answer is how is he reading the Gemara in Shabbos, right? He had a certain way of reading it in the Kasha. And he read it in the Kasha that the Gemara in Shabbos says, when you give Hasra, you must give it B'Shem Ha'av. His first teretz was, that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara just meant that if you give Hasra B'Shem Ha'av, you have to get the right Av. But if you want to be Masra B'Shem Ha'tolda, that's perfectly fine also. What is this answer in Tosfos? I could sum up this in response. Firstly, it's answering the first question. I could sum up the answer in three words. Yeah, Lavi, you can don't have to give it in three words. What were you going to say?
Is he not rereading the Gemara Makama?
He is rereading, correct. He's reading the Gemara Makama. And what is his answer to his question?
The answer is the Teruz of Ichanav of Ishkan of Hashiva is referring to. Is actually referring to
Avdara. Correct. And the way I would answer, say Tosa's answer is, Enochanami. Those three words. You had Akasha. But isn't there an Afgamina of Hasara? Enochanami. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. It's a big stretch. I don't see how Tosa sees that in the Gemara. That's a separate question. But Tosa says, no. When the Gemara says, Hach tahavah b'mishkan chashiva kari le'av, and therefore you have to warn the guy because of that. In other words, if you want the guy to take you seriously, that you're doing malacha, you got to tell him what you're doing. And what you're doing has to be something he's going to know I'm adding this, it doesn't spell this out, is a malacha chashuva. And how did you know it's a malacha chashuva? Because it was in the Mishkan chashuva. But the point is, we have with that little overlay. Tosus is saying, however you want to read it in the words, Tosus is saying that that is the Gemara's teretz. Our Gemara here, correct, you said it well. Instead of rereading the Gemara in Shabbos, he's rereading the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Okay. Then, Tosus has the third answer. The ode, denotea umvashel ein sarach lahasroso mishum av, vim histro mishum hatolda chaya, vafilu hachi, lo chashiv le beperakla gada. This is a very hard tarot. It's the Maran.
Can I ask a question for a second?
Yeah, please.
Could he also be saying that you're required to state that it's an av or a tolda?
No, I think he's just saying that you have to give hasra. When you give hasra for being, let's say, being mishamer, you have to say, it's a machlokas, which it is, you have to say, that's borer, don't do it.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to saying, you're not allowed to sift on Shabbos, that's a malacha. You have to specify what category it belongs to.
So the first teretz doesn't allow you doesn't the first teretz also allow you to warn based on vanav?
It does, but you don't have to. It has all the
second answer is required.
Correct. And therefore, the first answer, there's no nafkamina between av and tolda. The first answer just says when you warn somebody, it has to be a plausible warning. You can warn a mishum the tolda, you can warn a mishum the av, as long as it's plausible. So that's not an nafkamina between av and tolda. Whereas the second teretz says, no, you do have to warn mishum the av. And that is the nafkamina between av and tolda, and that's what the Gemara was saying.
Because you have to warn on what they were doing in the Mishkan?
Correct. The third teretz, firstly, when you read Eric Girsa, it's not clear it's a third teretz because it doesn't say Ve'od Yesh Lomar. It actually is a third teretz. And I am not going to explain this third teretz. I'm only going to make the following comment. The Maharam, when you read the teretz, and it's not our topic, and I think it will be confusing, it will take a lot of time. When you read the teretz, you think, how does this relate to the first two terutzim? What is it accepting? What is it rejecting? And the Maram realizes that there are serious problems with that. So he claims that the ode is actually part of the first teretz in the wrong place. It may be the whole thing may be a Tos Sofer. And he has a very, very long explanation. It's a very long Maram in the back. The Maram, unfortunately, is probably not correct. And the reason he's not correct is because we have a clearer version of this in the Tosus Harasha, Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz. It's clear it was there. It's not some Talmud Torah wrote it in the margin. And it's clear that it's a third teretz. And it's a very interesting teretz, but not for now, when you do Shabbos.
Can you just say it simply again?
Say what?
The third teretz, just simply like what it was.
I don't want to go. I think,
now I'm going to say what it is.
I don't want to say what it is. You can bother me in Seder if you want. Okay? We can look inside. I don't want to say what it is. It's very sharp what Tosus says, what Tosus means, but it is there in Tosus. It's not a second teretz. It's a third completely separate teretz. It's very sharp. It's sharp. Okay. All right, let's go on in the Gemara now. So now the Gemara has basically established, remember, this is all a distraction. It's all a setup for Avos Nezikin, Toldosan, Kayotzebehen, Lav Kayotzebehen. So now the Gemara says the following. Gabi Tumos, the bottom line of the Gemara, Tanan Avos HaTumos HaSheretz VaShech VaZera UTmeimes. Okay. Asherets, there are 8 shratzim that are metame if you touch them. What? Fine. Now tell me what each one of them is. Tell me what kinds of animals they are.
Rodents.
What?
Rodents.
I used to think that. One or two might be rodents. Most of them are actually like lizards. A gecko, a chameleon, and so on. Look, you can look up Professor Felix's Hatzomeach V'chai B'Torah. Okay? Chai V'tzomeach B'Torah. Yeah, you can look up and tell you what they are, right? Chameleon is one of them. Anyway, that's for now. But the bottom line is they are only outside of big animals. I don't know what the line is exactly. Like, I wonder what they would have said about a capybara. Right? You guys know what a capybara is?
Yeah.
Benji, did you ever go to the Van Suen Zoo when you were a child? Yeah, so you know what capybaras are. Let's just put it this way. If your mother would scream with seeing a mouse in the kitchen, she'd have a heart attack seeing a capybara. They look like they're cute animals. They might even be cute, but they're the largest rodents, I think. They're South American rodent. What? No, capybaras are not native to Israel.
They have them in the zoo.
At Van Saun Zoo, of all the things. It's like this little zoo, Bergen County Zoo, in Van Saun Park. What's that?
So cool.
What's that?
A lizard room. They have a lizard room in Van Saun?
I don't remember. Do they? Okay. So anyway, so the bottom line is, I don't know if a cap... The problem is there's a din of behema and chaya, and a behema and chaya, the nevela, is metame, touching it or carrying it. But the shmona, but once you get smaller than that, only the shmona shvatzim are metame. Everything else, is no, it's an isra achila, but there's no tumah associated with it. So a sheretz is an ava tumah. Shechva zera, right? Human semen is considered an av hatoma, as long as it's dry, as long as it's moist. Roy lazria. Tzemeimes, a person who touches a dead person, is an av hatoma. So the Gemara says that lav kayotze behen. The ilu av metame adam vekelim, the ilu toldos ochlim umashke metame adam vekelim lo metame. So the Gemara says that when it comes to the laws of tuma, the toldos are not kayotze behen. And the tolda doesn't have the same force as the av. Because this is the way it works. In the briefest of forms, I did this last year, actually, with the tumah. I must have given you this in Hakdama. You have an avat tumah normally. If it touches something, adam, kelim, och, lamashkim, that which are mekabel tumah, they become a rishon l'tumah. Once you have a rishon l'tumah, if it touches something else, adam and kelim are always tahar min ha-Torah, och, lamashkim can become a sheni l'tumah. If a sheni l'tumah of och, lamashkim touches other och, lamashkim, normally, they're not metame them, unless midoraisa, unless other food or liquid is a truma or kachim, which can make a shlishi l'tumah. And truma or kachim, which becomes a shlishi l'tumah, if it touches other food, can only be metame if it's kachim, because kachim can become a revi l'tumah. Okay? That's all you have possibly min ha-Torah. So the point of the Gemara is that the toldos of tumah are not kayotze b'hem. Yes, Kasim.
Can I have truma metame ochel mashkin?
Yeah. Adam Kalim Ochma Mashka. Right. Now the
it doesn't say that in Gemara, but
because if you can be Mitame Adam and Kalim, you certainly can be Mitame Ochma Mashka. Yeah, that's the assumption. Now Tosus here has two comments about this, which are worthy of noting. I'm not gonna deal at great length. You can only understand this Tosus if you have a basic Hakdama and Tumah Vitara. Tosus is assuming you know the Mishnayos and Taros, but I want to explain them. Tosus says the ilu av mitame adam mekelim the garas velo garsinon adam ubegadim shelashon zeh mashma mitame adam letame begadim. Did any of you read this Tosus, by the way?
Yeah.
What does Tosus mean in the first line?
It didn't say begadim. I mean, he said kelim instead of begadim.
Yes, but why does that matter? What does latame ad latame begadim mean? See, when you read that, did you understand?
Is it that you would have thought that if you're wearing clothes?
Okay. All right. So one person thought and thought correctly. If you didn't, you have to come and ask me the question. I will answer any of your questions later. But if you're struggling over just the shakla of atariah and tosus, I want you to work that out. This you're going to bang your head against the wall because you should realize when you read this kind of tosus that you're missing a basic yediyah. The halacha happens to be that there are certain kinds of avos hatumas when you touch them, like a mishkav of a zav, that if you touch it, or if you're sitting on it, not only are you tameh, but if you're wearing a beged, the beged you're wearing becomes tameh, even though it's not directly touching the av. Right? If you carry it, for example, if you touch a nevela, let's say a cow that died without shechita, or a dead pig, shechita no shechita, if I touch the dead pig, I become tameh. If I carry the dead pig, or the dead nevela cow, I carry a kazayas from it. Not only I tame, I become a rishon, because this is not by suit becomes a rishon l'tumah. And it's not because of touching, because touching always descends one level. The expression that's used throughout the Mishnah is the Torah always says, Yechabes begadav rachatz b'mayim v'tamei ad ha'arav. Right? That term, Yechabes begadav, is an indication, even though your begadim didn't touch the tumah, you were wearing the begadim and touching the tumah. If I, by the way, if I'm carrying, you know, if I have this, right? And now I touch the nevela, it's not tame. I'm not wearing it. I'm just touching it, right? So that's when we. So the word you have to understand the word. What does the word kelim mean? A kelim, especially in rabbinic Hebrew, it has two meanings. One you would translate as vessel, but the other meaning of kelim is also clothing. Right? Very frequently, adam v'kelim means a man and his clothing. So therefore, Tosfos says that the correct nusach in the Gemara, but kelim also means vessels, utensils, and so on. Adam v'kelim, Tosfos says, is the correct Gersa, because if you said Adam v'gadam, it sounds like what you're invoking is letame adam letame v'gadam, and that's not true about many of the avos hatumah. So that's what Tosfos meant when he said that yigaras Adam v'kelim and not Adam v'gadam, shaloshon ze mashma letame adam letame v'gadam. Okay? That's a basic idea, and there's no way to know it if you've never learned Mishnayos and Taurus. Okay, so that's you see that, just come and knock on my door and ask me and say, what does this mean? Because clearly I'm missing something.
The im tomar. V'aretzmeimes osa klematechas kayotzebo. The cherub areyu kachalal. Alma yesh behem kayotzebo. So you read that tosis, and again, if you have no yedias and taurus, you're not going to have a clue as to what's going on here, except there's a little hint here. What's the hint? What's the hint here? Is there anything? Is there even a hint? I think there's a hint. Yes. You have to look up what the din of Cher Harei Kechalel is. And there's a little tzion in most of your Gemaras, Hagos V'tzion, he tells you to look in Shabbos, Kefafel, and Beis. Now, I did you one better. That's not actually the place to look. The place to look is in the Mishnayos in Halos. And let me explain very, very briefly. There's a coin. Any coin here? There's a coin. There's accurate. I forgot you are. What's that? And Marcus. Okay. Fine. And so I didn't think you were the only coin. You were the only coin there yesterday. Okay. You see this watch? What is it? If you touch, let's say you're completely tahar. You've never been, have you ever, now Baruch Hashem, you shouldn't be tamei mace through a mace, right? Baruch Hashem. You all should be tahorim by ordinary rules. And I assume you've never accidentally been caught on a building that was a mace, right? As far as you know.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now.
He's telling me this.
Oh, no.
No.
Obviously, you know I wouldn't make him do an Aveira, right?
You probably possibly were already anyway. Some we showed might even say that you were in the room with my watch. Now, I may be oversimplifying, but there's a din of Harei Kachal. Let me give it you in its simplest form that all we showed him agree to. If a mace dies and comes in contact with a metal clay, like a cherev, that cherev is not an avatoma. That cherev is an avi avosatoma. And if you or I touch that cherev, we require hazah from the mechatas, the efer, the paradum, and water, in order to become tahar. In other words, if I touch a mace, or I'm in oil with a mace, I become an avatoma, and obviously I need hazahs, mechatas. Okay, I'm just going to use mechatas as the term, for me, mayim with the efer, the paradum, mixed in. Okay, but and then let's say you touch me, Stephen. So then you're only a rishon l'tuma. I'm an av, you're a rishon. In other words, it always descends a level, right? Tumasem la kayotzeben. But if it's a metal clay, according to Tosos, according to the Rambam and many Yishon, any clay except for a clay charis. Everybody agrees charis no. Everybody agrees clay machlus yes. And there's a machlokus of all other kalim and the kabbalton in between. The clay stays on the same level as the mace. Now when you touch the clay, you descend one level. Not only is it true when it comes to a mace, but let's say I'm a tamei mace. I touch the dead person. And now I touch the watch. What do you think the watch becomes? Again, the choice, avi avos is the mace. I'm an avatoma. The watch that touches me, is it a rishon alatoma or it's an avatoma? It's an av again. In other words, kelim hanogim a mace and kelim hanogim a tamei mace, the initial contact doesn't go down also. Now, if my watch touches somebody's phone, the phone descends. A kli cannot keep a kli on the same level or an adam on the same level. Only an adam, whether the mace himself or herself or the tamei mace, him or herself, can make the kli they touch into the same level of tumah that they're at. Cheres is excluded, by the way, just a general idea. Cheres can never even become an av tumah. If a kli cheres touches a mace, it becomes a rishon l'tumah. There's a klal in tumah. It's not in the Mishnayos as far as I know. It's a gemara at the end of Erevin. Anything that cannot get tahor in a mikvah cannot become an av tumah. Ochlim, mashtim, klei cheres, they can touch a mace, they're a rishon l'tumah, not an av. Why? Because they have no tahor in the mikvah. So, what do you think Tosis's kasha is, after we said all of that? Tosis is saying, what do you mean?
What was the name again with clothing that you're wearing?
That's a set, I'm not related to mace.
Okay.
Right, that is, if I touch a mace, that clothing will be a rishon l'tumah, because I become an avatumah. Right, so Tosis says that's nothing to do with Tumas Mace per se. That's if these avos atumas, if you touch a sheretz, it's not metame begadim that you're wearing. If a sheretz touches your begadim, they're tame. So Tosis' whole point is that a sheretz is metame adam and kalim, if it touches them. If it had said adam or begadim, it would be mashma that a sheretz is metame adam litame begadim, and that's not true. The second kasha Tosis is totally unrelated. Tosis says, guess what I've discovered within the laws of tumah?
Yesh mehen, ayotze mehen. Right? If the Gemara's whole point is that by tumah, toldos are not like avos because they descend a level. Ah, but sometimes they are. In other words, a kli which touches a mace is an avi avos atumah.
You see, wants to try to prove that from a the exception from a.
Well, look at Tosus' answer. V'yishlomar, da'kati eno... Yes, the answer is, Tosus is correct in asking, because what is the Gemara's teretz by Nezikin? What is the Gemara's maskana here in the next line? Amar apapa, yesh mehem kayotze behem, yesh mehem la kayotze behem. So the Gemara should have said by Tumah V'tar as well, yesh v'yesh. So Tosus says, V'yishlomar, da'kati eno osa kayotze bo, sha'osa klimateches, eno osa klimateches acher kayotze bo, k'mo sha'medaktik v'rbeinu tam, b'reish masnisan ta'alos. I gave you the Mishnayos and Alos, the first few Mishnayos, because all they're doing is listing the klalim of t'cherev harei k'chalal. So the Tosus teretz is the following. Yes, let's say a mace touches the watch. What does the watch become? Aviyah osa toma. Does the watch have the same status as the mace? No, it doesn't. Why not?
It can't
make the next watch, or person. It can't make the next watch into an Aviyah Vosa Tumah the way the mace could.
So why do we care if it's an Aviyah Vosa Tumah? Just because
it will make a person.
Because the person or flea that touches it requires Hazas Eifer Shalish Yushri. You're correct. And in other words, it's the only matters that's there goes for its level, for how much it can eat the Tame in a chain.
Correct.
But for itself, the Tara of it is the same as the Tara for any other avatom. Tumas makes, yes.
It's just weird because it can make a person
an av. Right. Whereas, but it can't make a person to, or a kli. It can't make a kli. A person, remember, when a person touches a mace or tmei mace, the person always descends a level. It's only a kli that touches the mace or tmei mace that stays on that level, but that kli can't make another kli that way. So that's why Tosa says, even though it doesn't descend a level, it's still not kayotze bain. It's not the same as the original aviavos. Okay, so that's just the one, a very nice bikias.
What level do you become? Do you touch a person who died? What level do you become?
An avatoma, and you need your tame 7 days. You need sprinkling of the mechatas. Okay, let's read on in the Gemara a little bit. Yair is going to be happy because he might have a chance to speak for himself because we're not going to get to that Tosos. The Gemara says the following: Tana Rabbanon, Givel Amos Nemru Bishor, Hakein Vashein Varegel. Now, where does this brisa coming from? There are two ways to read what's going on here. This is very, I think, subtle. Why does the Gemara open up with this brisa? Tosa says something here, by the way. Tana Rabbanon, Shalosh Avos, Hifsik Bebaraisa Zolafarish Toldosem Lav Kayotzev and the Kamara Papa Ahaya. The Gemara interrupts with this brisa in order to explain Toldosem Lava Yakotzev and that Rav Papa said what he was talking about. And as Rav Papa said, Toldosem Yeshman, Toldosem Kayotzev and Yeshman Lav Kayotzev. Which of those two categories is obvious? Yesh Kayotze Ben, right? The Gemara is going to spend the next two blot, or blot and a half, whatever, is trying to figure out what's the Lav Kayotze Ben. Now, if the Gemara is commenting on Rav Papa, why do they quote this Brisa? Why don't they immediately ask on Rav Papa himself? Which ones are which? So Tosis is saying, the Brisa is here to help explain Rav Papa. The Brisa is going to list within short, we have the following three. That's the way Tosis presents it. Okay? I want to offer a very different teretz to Tosis. I would argue, based upon the Ushami that we'll read tomorrow, that arguably, I mean, it's not really based upon the Ushami, that this really is the opening line of the Sugya. What, does any of you know which is the first part of this Mishnah that the Gemara explains, where there's a Piska and it explains what the Mishnah is talking about? Look on Gimel Amid Beis. What's the first between the two dots that we get? Mave. Right? Now, what comes before Mave that the Gemara hasn't explained? And? Bor. Now, what kind of an explanation does Bor need? The answer is none. It's pretty obvious. Question is, what is Shor? I would argue that what the Gemara is at least stating at this point, very much akin to the Yerushalmi, is that there are shalosh, one could have said there are shalosh avos within Shor. This is essentially Rav's position, by the way. It's not like the Yerushalmi, it's Rav's position. I could argue, I don't know for sure, Tosus may be right, but the presentation is a little odd without the question, that this is actually the original kernel. This is a comment on the Mishnah, and the Gemara builds the sugya of Rav Papa around. It's speculation. I'm acknowledging it as such. Anyway, there are Gimel Avos in Shor. Keren, Shane, and Regel. Now the Gemara says, Keren Minalan. How do you know that Keren is what? What's the Gemara's question? Keren Minalan. Okay. Right. How do you know that Keren is an Av? Ditana Rabbanan. Ki yigach ve'ein negicha ele bekeren, shenemar, v'yas lo tzidkiyo ven kananah kanei varzel, v'yomer ko amar Hashem ve'ilat negach es aram ad kalos ad kalosam. Okay?
Here's the question, how do we know that Karen is an Av, or how do we know that Karen would fall under...
How do you know that Karen is an Av? It's correct. We just said, Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Avos Nemer B'Shar HaKaren, B'Shar HaKaren Hashem Rekha. How do you know that Karen is an Av? Okay, so the Gemara says, we have a Pasuk, and I'm not going to talk about that chapter in Nevi'im, but you should learn that chapter in Nevi'im, but it says that Tzidkiyah ben Kenana made himself these like toy horns, these Viking horns made out of barzel, and he gave some prophecy. He was an Avi Sheker. He gave some false prophecy to Ahav. Okay, Ve'omer, and it says, Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo, that Feshevet Yosef, the firstborn of his ox is glorious for him, Ve'karnei Re'im Karnav, and his horns are the horns of oryxes, Bohem Amim Yunagach Yachdav Afseyaretz. And with them, he will gore the nations all together to the corners of the earth. Now, you should understand, the Gemara asks the question, Ma'ivi Omer. This is standard question of the Gemara, and what is the question? You don't even need to see the question to know the Gemara is going to ask it. Right, and specifically when the Gemara will say, Ve'omer, right? And the Gemara will ask, Ma'ivi Omer. And scripture also says, why do you need two psukim? Okay? So the Gemara continues, and it says, if you want to say that you're not, you can't learn Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. So what does Divrei Kabbalah mean then? Nevi'im, or Nevi'im and Ksuvim. I'll talk about that in a moment. So Tashma b'char shero hadar lo. So therefore, you want to say you can't learn from the Pasuk in Malachim. So at this point, we'll, if that's what it means, we'll say that you have to lead a Pasuk in the Torah. Now, two simple questions here. One is, why is it called Divrei Kabbalah? So I noticed the Shit Lukbetsa say, never seen this before. One is standard, I forget what one is a more standard interpretation. In other words, that Divrei Kabbalah doesn't mean receiving. You know what the root Kaf Beis Lamed means in Aramaic? In the Pa'el, it means like it means in the Hebrew. It's really an Aramaic root. It's only found in very late biblical Hebrew, in Megillas Esther, for the most part. The Kibel HaYudim and Kimu VeKibelu. But in Aramaic, in the Kal, what does to be Kovel mean? It's found in the Mishnah, at the end of Yadayim. The what? To complain. Kovel imano aleichem tzdukim, kanal aleichem anu prushim. Right? The standard common word in Aramaic for someone crying out, complaining to God, is kaval. So they're very kabbalah, because the Vim always complaining to the people about their bad behavior. That's why Shita Mikubetsis quotes somebody who says that. Fine. I have a very simple question. I asked it on the sheet. What question, if this were the maskan of the Gemara, what question should you immediately ask? If this is the Gemara is going to reject this. Right? And I'll close with talking about why the Gemara rejects it. But if this is the answer that Medivrei Kolei Divrei Kabbalah Yofina, what question should you ask on your own?
You still didn't need the other pasuk.
Which pasuk?
The one from Nevi'im.
Yeah, what's the pasuk from Nevi'im doing? What's the pasuk from Nevi'im doing? Right? And you're going to be able to ask the same question on the maskan of the Gemara. Right? And in the maskan of the Gemara, once you have the pasuk in the Torah that tells you that Karen Mechuberes is only Chayiv Chatzi Nezek, what do you need the pasuk in Malachim? For that, there's an easier answer. One of the Bishonim that just gives that answer. I was wondering if that one, I saw the answer. But I don't know what the answer would be here. Why you need the pasuk, but why quote the pasuk?
So what's the answer for the second one? Why do you need the pasuk?
Because you might have thought that by Karen Tama, they say, he quotes someone who says, By Karen Telusha, you never paid Esek Shalom, because no matter how many times the animal does it, it's abnormal.
Oh, okay, so that pasuk in
Malachim would demonstrate. That's also called Negicha.
So it's just the same Svara, just opposite way.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so I wasn't able to think of that on my own, because it was bugging me, and I went and I looked and saw it.
It's just the same Svara, the opposite way. Right. It's not like a big...
Okay, so now the Gemara says, no Chidushim. The Gemara now says, but V'chi Tema, that it can't be. V'hai Mi'alefu? So what does that mean? So Rashi writes, so what is Rashi in effect say? What's a melef and what's a gilim milsa b'yama?
Melef is an additional...
Melef is deriving a din. What is gilim milsa b'yama?
A definition.
Vocabulary.
Linguistic.
A definition, a linguistic definition. You can use Nevi'im and Ksuvim to help us explain what a word means.
It's a nice
question. Okay. So now the Gemara says,
No, what do we think? And I'll close with this for the moment. Elamahu detema ki palig rachmana bein tam lamur hani mili betlusha ava mumuchu beres ema kula muedesi. Tashima b'chor sho hadarla.
The Gemara says, no, I would have thought that when does the Torah distinguish between tam and muad? When it comes to keren tlusha. But I would have thought that keren mechuberes, I would have said, ema kula muedeshi. And that's what we're telling us, that even both keren tlusha and keren mechuberes are considered kihiga. Fine. The question we will focus on the next time we do bekis, and this is the fight I'm having with Yair over Tosos. I claim there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosos as to what the words mean in the Gemara. Ema kula muedesi. If you read the two Rashis, Dibur Hamaschil Avol and Ema, and you read the beginning of Tosos Dibur Hamaschil Avol, and even the continuation of Tosos, there's actually a machlokas as to what the words in the Gemara mean, and that, what the words Avol Ema kula muedesi. What does that mean? And so next time, I think tomorrow we'll do Ian. On Thursday, when we resume here, you should be prepared to understand what's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. You'll either agree with me. This week we're doing Tuesday and Thursday. So you will either agree with me or you agree with Yair. Yair thinks there is no machlokas. He thinks Tosfos reads like Rashi. I think Tosfos does not read like Rashi.